This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
Welcome to tonight's edition of World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. You're listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9 in Melbourne and on Star Observer Digital in Sydney, a digital radio pop-up station presented by Tusser, Joy, and Star Observer. Tonight, World Wide Wave is stopping at Ireland. But first, of course, we want to thank the gang at Generation Next for a great show as always, and also thank you to Robert at the front desk. Now, some quick questions about Ireland. What percentage of LGBT employees have experienced verbal harassment on the basis of their sexual orientation? When did the first gay member of Ireland's largest party come out? Know the answers? Feel free to contact us on 0427-JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. If you don't know, stay tuned. You can find out all this and more on tonight's show. But first, let's hear from Ireland's favorite lesbian singer, Sinéad O'Connor, with Nothing Compares, here on the World Wide Wave, Joy 94.9.
It's Joy 94.9. This is the World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And that was from the 80s diva Sinéad O'Connor, who was a sometimes dyke, sometimes straight. In fact, she's quoted as saying she's three quarters heterosexual, a quarter gay. I lean a little bit more towards hairy blokes, she says. Tonight we are in Ireland exploring the issues of religion, of same-sex marriage and civil partnerships, and we like to start our show with fun, fast facts. So, in July 2010, civil partnerships were passed and made legal in Ireland. The bill passed all stages of the lower house without the need for a vote, complete support from all parties, and it got through their Senate by 48 votes to 4, so a pretty thumping victory there in terms of getting
all five parties to politically support. That is impressive.
Absolutely. And it actually came from many years before campaigns starting. In the 1970s started a campaign to make change and eventually got it to the European Court of Human Rights, arguing that the Irish laws were not compatible with the European Convention on Human Rights. So he basically used a legal push to force the Parliament of Ireland to make change. And eventually he got through.
Good on him. What other fun fast facts do we have?
Well, sex changes. So we've got some really good progress there in terms of gay and lesbian rights, but sex changes are not legally recognised in Ireland.
Not legally recognised? You know, that's interesting because the organisation GLEN is a gay and lesbian organisation, and actually, although they are very supportive of transgender, it's not as inclusive. I noticed like a lot of their... it says G and L or L and G, but there's not that T or BGTQ sort of ending. So I think that in general, the transgendered folks have a bit of a harder time, at least at the very least legally in Ireland.
And perhaps just the hints of changing. So there was another court case brought by a female-to-male transgender person by the name of Lydia, Dr. Lydia Foy, who took her case to court, to the Supreme Court, and the government lost, and they then appealed, and then they decided that they will withdraw that appeal and start working on some legislation for change in the future.
But first, what show on Ireland would be happening without, you guessed it, everybody's favourite Irish band, or U2, And we've got you two, Mysterious Ways, here on the World Wide Wave.
It's Joy 94.9, it's the World Wide Wave, and tonight we are in Ireland. And on the line we have Jerry Buttermer, who is Ireland's first openly gay politician. Jerry, are you with us?
Good evening or good morning. It's Nathan. Good to have you on.
And great to be speaking with you. Jerry, can you give us an update? There has been a significant push to move... Ireland has civil partnerships, but a push to move to same-sex marriage. Can you update us on where that is at?
Well, first of all, can I just clarify that we have three openly gay TDs in our parliament and we have two senators, so there's five of us flying the flag at the moment. And in the context of the discussion we're having on April 13th and 14th as part of the Constitutional Convention, the 100 members of the convention will be asked whether or not they agree with putting a proposal to the Irish people in a referendum that we would hold a referendum to put into a constitution marriage for equal marriage. So I think it is important that on that particular day that we allow the convention to come together to hold its meeting to hopefully support the referendum, that we would be able to put referendum to the Irish people that we would have equal marriage enshrined in our constitution.
And do you think that constitutional convention is the best way to push this legislation through?
Well, at the moment, as part of the programme for government between Fine Gael and Labour, there is a commitment, first of all, to hold the constitutional convention, which has, and I'm a member of the convention, has had a number of meetings dealing with issues like women in the home, lowering the voting age, the term of the presidency, and it's been a very successful first two meetings. The third meeting now on April will deal with the issue of same-sex marriage. I think it's a very appropriate forum and venue within which to hold this discussion. First of all, to allow people to become more informed, and secondly, to if you like, have a lead-in period to a referendum, which I do hope will result from the consultation and from the deliberation of the Constitutional Convention. The biggest fear that I have is, despite the changes we've made in the context of civil partnership, is that it would fall short in a referendum. The important point for me is that we have a debate that helps to inform people, that will ultimately bring people around to the viewpoint that same-sex marriage is not just a human right, but it's an entitlement of all citizens and of gay couples, be they lesbian or gay. And I think the important point here is that we bring people with us. And I'm confident that in time we will do that. I know that perhaps to the outside world there may seem a bit of reticence by government in terms of the programme for government, but I think the Constitutional Convention has been a good exercise so far, and will, I think, in time be proven to be a very good innovative idea.
Do you have a sense of how much support you have from other politicians for this change?
Well, I think it's growing by the day. I mean, I always quote the example of President Obama, who has, you know, evolved the position to being in favour of same-sex marriage, primarily perhaps due to the great work of Joe Biden. And similarly, I think in England and in Europe and France and other countries across the world, you've seen a movement towards it. And I think in this case, in our country, we probably have a small bit more to go in converting and convincing the middle ground, perhaps, that we can and should have equal marriage. Opinion polls fluctuate and vary, and as you know from election campaigns, and in our case, in our country, in referendums, opinion polls can be soft and the support can ebb away at the end, or it can grow. So I'm hoping that in our case it will grow as we move towards a referendum.
But we are reading of polls putting support for same-sex marriage at 75%. Do you think that's overstated?
Well, I'm always afraid to look at an opinion poll when you're in favour of a particular proposition, because that, you know, you get a false sense of security and comfort. I know that both Marriage Equality and Glenn, who are both advocacy and campaigning groups here, have done huge Trojan work on promoting the whole need for marriage equality. I, as a politician, would be a small bit sceptical about opinion polls, but I think from talking to people on the ground and from listening to commentary, there is, a growing acceptance that this is an entitlement to human rights, and that people will ultimately, when it comes to referendum, I hope, vote. Now, The one caveat I would give you is that in referendums over here, there is a quota of around 30% plus who, no matter what proposition is put forward in a referendum, will oppose government in that referendum. So that is a concern, that 40% or that 30% to 40% is still there. It's one that I would be concerned about from the point of view that no matter what happens, they will vote against. But I mean, you know, we've come a long way as a country to know, you know, every party in the Dáil voting in favour of civil partnership, the Constitutional Convention holding its meeting on April 13th, 14th on the question. So it's exciting. Progress has been made. We have a long way to go, of course, and it's about engagement, it's about persuasion, and I do hope that the opposition that would be there from the Catholic Church won't necessarily have the same influence that they had once.
The Irish Education Minister came out last week saying that education will play a key role in tackling homophobia and transphobia, and perhaps suggesting that schools be a way of making change. How far away do you think that is of being achieved?
Well, I think Rory Quinn, first of all, and Francis Fitzgerald have two ministers. Francis Fitzgerald is the Minister for Children, published in recent times a groundbreaking piece of if you like, and the whole issue of bullying and anti-bullying and anti-homophobic bullying. And just on Friday, I spoke at a transgender conference in Waterford. So progress has been made. We're breaking down barriers. We're if you like, bringing about change. We're widening the momentum in terms of persuasion of people. I mean, if I could just give you an example, in July of last year, the Longford Leader, which is a provincial newspaper in the county of Longford in rural Ireland, had on its front page a photograph of a couple just after having a civil partnership. That wouldn't ever have happened 20 years ago. So while we have some distance to travel, we are, I think, making progress. There are couples who have engaged in civil partnership, who have become pioneers, who have helped us to not just alter the perception of how gay couples and lesbian couples are seen across the country, but about how the world hasn't ended with civil partnership. And I think everybody now recognises within the gay community, and of course it must be stressed that we don't have unanimity here either, that civil marriage is the next small step to building on the success of civil partnership. And, you know, our 1916 proclamation has a line in it about cherishing all of our children equally. Well, in this case, it's about us as a nation and as a society building on the stepping stone that was civil partnership, to bring in equal marriage.
It sounds like you're making incredible progress, and we're really excited for that progress that you're making. We're just curious. We know also we saw that sex change is not legally recognized. I heard you mention earlier about transgender people in campaigning and working with them. How do you feel that campaign is coming along? Are transgendered people also experiencing that same progress?
Well, it's probably a lot slower than first of all anyone would like to see happening. Secondly, the government and we have here, the Health Service Executive, which is the organisation that runs our health services, have engaged in a consultative process regarding that, and both the Minister for Social Protection and the Minister for Justice are reviewing that consultation process and are looking at what's called the heads of the bill of legislation. It's obviously a huge issue. We are definitely slow in this regard, but we've made progress. And I mean, I was overwhelmed last Friday when I spoke at the conference in Waterford, organised by TENI, which is the national organisation here advocating on behalf of transgender people, at the number of healthcare professionals who attended and who were very much willing to engage in. And you know, at a time when you hear criticism of public service workers, the health officials who engage in this process are an example of how you can have a very good health, public health system working. Undoubtedly, there are a lot of obstacles to overcome, yes, but I'm confident that in time we will get there. Now, it is slower than some of the other issues associated with the gay community, but, you know, we're getting there. We are making progress. We are making visible changes. We've already seen in this country a European transgender conference last September. We had a very successful conference on Friday in Waterford. Kenny won the major awards at the National Gay and Lesbian Awards Ceremony on Saturday night in Dublin. And also, I think if you look at the whole wider picture, we had the European Police Force Conference in Dublin last June and just before Pride. So we're now seeing, and we had also ILGA having a major conference this year, both in the autumn of last year and this year, in terms of just this week just gone on education and tackling bullying. So from if I could just appeal to our immigrants abroad who are gay and who are thinking about coming home, please do for the gathering, because Ireland is a good place to be gay now. In the past it wasn't, and a lot of people left because they felt they couldn't live a full and open life here. We have 5 members of parliament who are openly gay and who are promulgating and advocating. There is a huge sea change of public opinion within the broader society, and I think within Ireland now you have a very strong gay community who have a lot of supports put in place for people who feel they need to have a voice to listen to them, to help them to develop and to come out, or not to come out, but to engage in different activities.
Thank you so much, Jerry. And that's Jerry Buttermer, one of 5 openly gay TDs in the Irish Parliament. And thank you again for talking to us here on the World Wide
Web. Thank you very much
indeed. All right,
thank
bye. You. Have a good day.
Have a good night.
Bye.
This is Nikki from Canada, where everybody can get married. You're listening to the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
This is Eve from Cameroon on Joy 94.9.
It's the World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. And tonight, we're stopping off in Ireland, the country that makes people put lots of R's in their words. We'd love to hear from you tonight. You can send us an SMS on 0427 JOY 949. Email us in the studio on air at joy.org.au. Robert's waiting on the front desk at 1300 JOY 949. And we are live on Facebook. You can search World Wide Wave or W, the number 3, JOY. And we would love to take your comments and put them out over the World Wide Wave.
Now, we were just talking with Jerry Buttermer, one of 5 openly gay TDs in the Irish Parliament, and his last sentiment was a plea for any Irish expatriates to come back because it's a more open and loving place.
Time for some music now. This is a out lesbian singer from Ireland, but has only recently come out as a teenager, and she says, "I'm gay, but I kept it hidden because I'm Catholic." Her name is Leanne Hart, and this is Unspoken Thoughts. It's Joy 94.9. You're on the World Wide Wave.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yang Fa from Singapore. You are listening to World Wide Wave on Joy. And lots of love to everyone at Joy 94.9.
It's Joy 94.9. You're on the World Wide Wave, and we are tonight in Ireland. And we have on the line Tiernan Brady, the Director of Policy Change from GLEN, the Gay and Lesbian Equality Network. Welcome, Tiernan.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having us.
Great to have you here. Now, Director of Policy Change, the Constitutional Convention is coming up in April. What are you doing in preparation for that?
Well, I suppose maybe to explain the Constitutional Convention very quickly, the government has put in place a convention which has 100 members. 35 of them are politicians and 65 of them are members of the public. And it has given them a list of things to look at in the Constitution. And one of the issues they're looking at is equal access to marriage for lesbian and gay couples, because currently in the Irish Constitution it is presumed, although it doesn't say it, it's presumed that any reference to marriage means that it's between a man and a woman. So for that to change, the current political consensus is that there would have to be a referendum of the people to change the Constitution. So the Constitutional Convention is looking at whether that referendum should take place. So it's a very important 2 months for us, in that, you know, we have to make the case pretty hard and make sure that what comes out of the Constitutional Convention is a very strong message in favour of equality for lesbian and gay people in Ireland. And from the polls that are here in Ireland, that would tend to look like will hopefully be the case, because currently the polls in Ireland have a 75% rate in favour of equal access to same-sex marriage. So that's a good starting point. So it'll be about us turning that 75% poll rating into a strong message from the convention, and hopefully then from the convention on to a referendum that will be passed by the people.
Now, the convention you mentioned will be dealing with a range of issues. How do you make sure that the issue of same-sex marriage is a priority issue and is dealt with there?
Well, thankfully, that's now in place. We've secured that. The dates have been set for mid-April, where the convention will deal with the issue of same-sex marriage, and where it will have to, you know, make its ruling, and the ruling has to be made at that point. So we'll know by the middle of April, and from there it goes back to government, and the government has to respond within a certain given amount of time. So thankfully that piece is now put in place, so that's, you know, one skittle knocked down, nine more to go.
The Catholic Church is quite dominant in Ireland. What role are they playing in this debate?
Well, at the minute, they have, at an Irish level, their presence isn't as strong. I mean, you're right in that, you know, Ireland is, you know, a predominantly Catholic country, but, you know, the last 20 years have seen a phenomenally fast change for lesbian and gay people in terms of social progress. You know, this year marks our 20th anniversary, and it's only our 20th anniversary of the decriminalization of homosexuality. So, you know, less than 20 years ago, it was still a crime. And we have moved from that position in 1993 to now in 2013, where we have a very, very strong civil partnership structure in place, which gives full equality on taxation, social welfare, immigration, pensions, inheritance, and all of those issues. And now we're hoping to take the next leap towards marriage, which will really bring the full status of equality, that real sense of equality, instead of just having a separate but equal institution, that you have full and equal access to the same institution as heterosexual couples. So, you know, the last 20 years we've seen lots of change, and we found that, you know, most people, even though the people are predominantly Catholic here, have been strongly supportive of that change, and that's mirrored in the massive support for civil partnerships, the very large support for moving on now to equal access to marriage. So I suppose in terms of what the hierarchy say, the proof would seem to point to the hierarchy being very much out of step with the vast majority of, you know, lay Catholics in Ireland who are in favour of equality and don't have an issue with their lesbian and gay family members, friends, community members, you know, from being treated as equal citizens.
And just changing gears slightly from the marriage equality policy, just looking at some workplace and discrimination policy, recently we saw there was a €24,000 euro fine put onto a credit union for workplace discrimination. We just wanted to hear, you've got a pretty strong history since 1994 about anti-discrimination policy. Can you tell us a bit how that area is coming along?
Well, again, the legislation that's there is very strong, and it came in with the Equal Status Act. So it's against the law under any circumstances to discriminate against someone on the basis of their sexual orientation when it comes to the provision of a service, when it comes to the provision of a good, when it comes to workplace dismissals or hiring procedures. And that legislation, as you say rightly, you know, has been in train for almost 20 years as well. So, and I think it does point to one of the other issues. You know, marriage is a critically important issue, but we mustn't let marriage overshadow all the other issues that lesbian and gay people face on a daily basis, whether that's, you know, diversity in the workplace, people, you know, who feel that they are being bullied, people who are scared to come out at work in case it has an impact on their lives, or people in school. I mean, when you think about where you spend the vast majority of your waking day, so those areas shouldn't be let, you know, shrink into the background too much. And I think one of the things we're very keen to do always is, you know, prioritize those areas too and make sure that, you know, real progress is made on workplace diversity. And in Ireland, we're very lucky here in Glen, we just launched what we call the Diversity Champions Programme, which rates employers right across Ireland. And we have a lot of multinationals from all over the world who use Dublin as a base, especially high-tech companies and like Facebook and Google. So they have very large LGBT working or work groups already within their staff, and they have very good support programs. So it's about making sure we can mirror that right across the workforce, so that, you know, the daily experience of lesbian and gay people in Ireland, as well as the laws changing, but that the daily experience is one of full equality, where people can get on with their lives without fear of harassment or fear of victimisation.
Has that rapid progress for gays and lesbians also been reflected for the transgender community? It seems to be a little bit behind.
No, Matt, you're very right there, actually, and it's one of the places where we have fallen down in terms of our legislation. The transgender issues have advanced in some European countries, and they're all advancing at different levels and different speeds, but Ireland has a lot of work to do. There's currently a process going through the Parliament here, the Dáil, on gender recognition, but it's a very slow process, and, you know, there's a lot more to be done. We're very lucky in that we have a very good transgender organisation called TENI, which is the Transgender Equality Network of Ireland, and we work very much in partnership with them, because, you know, they need the resources, because they have an awful lot of work to do. And one of the things that we don't want to see happening is that the T becomes just a quiet T on the end of LGBT, and people just get on with dealing with lesbian and gay bisexual issues, and then people just add the T and just don't deliver in terms of real change. So, you know, we're lucky in that we have a good growing organization with some really strong transgender advocates who are, you know, fantastic lobbyers, but there is a lot of work to do.
That's fantastic, and we do wish you every luck in the Constitutional Convention and the referendum that follows. Tiernan Brady, Director of Public Policy with the Gay and Lesbian Education Network, thanks for joining us on the World Wide Wave.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Matt.
And time now for some more Irish music. It's U2 with It's a Beautiful Day. It's Joy 94.9. It is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful night here. Beautiful day in Ireland, but night here. So big hello to our listeners in Ireland and also in Sydney. So we are broadcasting tonight into Sydney in partnership with Star Observer Digital and 2SERFM. Happy Mardi Gras to everybody listening in Sydney. Great to have you with us. And also a big shout out to a Facebook group called LGBT Israel, who've just joined us tonight. Thanks, guys. We love hearing what's happening all around the world.
And those of you listening on 2SER can also join us on Facebook. That's W, the letter, 3, the number, Joy, J-O-Y, W3, Joy. That's our Facebook page. Check us out and give us a like here on the World Wide Wave.
Hi, I am Fernando from Guadalajara, Mexico, and you are listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Follow LGBT International News and Current Affairs.
Like us on Facebook at W3Joy or visit us at W3Joy.org.
World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9. We're the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And tonight we stopped off in Ireland.
And some really, really exciting things happening. And you heard from both of our speakers tonight, particularly Tin, and at the end now, the accelerated progress that's going on. So 20 years ago, very little in the way of rights for gays and lesbians, and now they're on the verge of a referendum to bring same-sex marriage into legality.
And we also heard from Jerry Buttermer, who talked about that constitutional convention and how he's really hopeful. He's not looking at the polls. There's 75% in popular support, but he's really hopeful that it's going to bring the issue to the table.
And we wish them all the best with their fights over there. Mirroring Australia a bit, the polls ahead of the politicians, so perhaps there's a message for our government here in Australia as well.
And thank you again, those of you who've been following us by streaming online, whether it's through to SER or whether it's through joy.org.au. We're absolutely appreciative and loving the Mardi Gras season coming in. And also thank you to Robert at the front desk, who as usual has held down the fort. Really enjoy his support. You too can become a Joy volunteer. If you're interested, we're always looking for folks, whether it's working the front desk, reading the news, or putting on a show like this. It's absolutely a great opportunity.
And keep us, like us on Facebook. It's W3Joy on Facebook. We post news from all around the world on gay and lesbian issues, so you can stay up to date right through the week. And to take us out, we've got a song from Westlife, whose singer Mark Feely is not only openly gay, but engaged to his boyfriend Kevin. This is What Makes a Man, saying farewell on the Worldwide.
Thank you for listening to the Worldwide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Wave.
Thanks for writing. Catch you next week.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.